Well, hey, welcome to Grillin' Week 1. I'm your host, Anthony. Today, I'm here to sell you this great new grill. I'm just kidding. I've always felt like I had a face and a voice for infomercials, and I kind of feel like I'm on one right now. But my name is Anthony. For those of you who don't know me, I'm the care pastor here. I do want to thank Cameron for sharing his story. What a powerful testament to the power of being in community, being with one another, and to dinner groups. So like I said, we are in week one of a brand new series that we're calling Grillin', right? I'm thrilled for this series, not only because I get to use a grill and I get to wear this fancy apron, but what we get to talk about as well. See, I'm a huge fan of grilling. I love all types of grills, charcoal, gas, whatever. I'm an equal opportunity griller, right? My philosophy is this: it is better to have burnt and lost than never to have barbecued at all, right? I mean, I love grilling. I love grilling steaks, chicken, pork, sausages. Even those things called vegetables are amazing on the grill. You know, I feel like my family is a grilling family. You know, we used to go to the lake practically every weekend from Memorial Day to Labor Day, and you can bet we'd be grilling or smoking something, right? My Uncle Ed owned this large, gigantic grill, and he would do this whole hog. I mean, it was absolutely amazing. And so this is Labor Day weekend. Many of you will be grilling with loved ones. Some of you are tuning in from the beach. And hey, you may be watching this with a phone in one hand and a spatula in the other. That's awesome. I hope you are. And as things are starting to open up around here, right, people are starting to see more of one another. We're starting to have birthday parties again and get-togethers and of course, barbecues. And barbecues are interesting, right? They're a time where people can get together and just enjoy one another's company. People bring a dish to share. Some of you have those friends who bring that dish, you know, the one that you don't have the heart to tell them that you don't like. There was this cake thing that was brought one time because, you know, someone maybe thought they were clever. It's called a bologna cake. Have you ever seen this? Seriously, here's a picture of this thing. It's not a very good picture of it, but it is a picture of it nonetheless. It is bologna cake layered with mustard and mayo. Why do people do this? Why is this a thing? It freaked me out. Did I try it? Yes, of course I tried it, but that's not the point. All right, the point is people feel comfortable enough to bring something like bologna cake, but they feel comfortable when they go to barbecues. You can relax, you can let your hair down, or so I'm told. And as we're getting into being around people again, sometimes the conversations can veer towards that of faith. And maybe you're at these barbecues, and maybe you're actually at these barbecues hoping that no one brings up the fact that you go to church, that you believe in God, that you're in a dinner group, that you serve on a team. Now, last week, if you were here for our State of the Union, as we call it, right, Pastor Chris encouraged us to do these three things, right? To re-engage, to serve, and to invite, right? Re-engage in the mission, right? Re-engage if you've been absent, serve in some capacity, invite others into this journey with you, right? Re-engage, serve, and invite. The first two, a lot of us seem to be okay with, right? We understand that if we haven't been serving in a few months because of the lockdown or you know, maybe teams just weren't serving, right? There's an element of wanting to re-engage, right? You're excited that we're meeting in person again, and you're excited to jump back in. And serving, right? Many of you signed up to serve for the first time this past week, whether it's through Team Link or just feeling that nudge to jump in on a team. And re-engaging and serving, we seem to not have a problem with. It's this third one. It's the third one, the inviting part, that we kind of get freaked out by. Talking to someone about our faith can sometimes freak us out, right? Like, what freaks you out? We all have something that we freak out over, right? Many of you know that I'm freaked out by snakes. That's usually the one thing in my life that I'm freaked out by. I hate them. I don't want anything to do with them, all right? I'm not sure what freaks you out, but chances are if you're a follower of Christ, the idea of walking up to someone to tell them about Jesus freaks some of us out. But I also know this about you. I know as a follower of Christ, I know you love Jesus, and I know you really want to walk with him, and you really want to honor him, and you want to serve Jesus faithfully, and you want to live for him effectively, and you may not always know how, and you start wrestling with the way that some people seem to engage faith in life, right? Is it by making bold statements about political issues on social media? Is it by separating your life and your family as much as possible from everything and everyone who does not love Jesus? Is it by being a good, you know, I'm attending church or I'm viewing church and I'm just being a morally upright citizen and nothing more? But what if I told you that? What if I told you that God, who spoke and created the universe, who made you uniquely in his image in such a way that you, uniquely from everything else in creation, can worship and glorify and serve him, and that we've overcomplicated things? What if during this series our goal is that we made you realize that you and I were in fact made by God not only to be redeemed and brought back into a relationship with him through Jesus Christ, but to glorify him, to serve him? And what if I told you that he made you, from the circumstances of your life to the people that you know, to be someone who can share the good news of Jesus Christ in a way that can not only glorify him, but can also be for your own good? What if you saw on the passions of your life, right? Those things that bring you joy, that bring you great satisfaction. What if they were given to you by God to be used for something bigger? What if you could actually talk about your faith in the same setting as a barbecue, hanging out with friends, grilling, and just having a good time? How have we created this version of being a believer that makes us freak out over telling the best news in the history of the universe? How can we be so quick to speak about a million other things that pretty much mean nothing special, but we cannot seem to talk about this message that sets us free? So how can we learn to share Jesus, our faith, with others and invite them into the conversation without freaking out? There was a recent Barna study that came out that said that of the 8 attributes of those who are growing in their faith, sharing Jesus ranked at the bottom. Why? Well, I think we've lost our personal ownership of this mission that God has given all of us. See, in many translations, it's called the Great Commission, right? And it's found in Matthew 28. And even if you've never been to church before, even if this is your first time joining us, you're not quite sure how you feel about this whole God thing, maybe you have heard of this thing called the Great Commission, right? It's found in Matthew 28 and starts in verse 18. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit." So this thing is called the Great Commission, right? Jesus is commissioning his followers, right? Baptizing them in the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and then teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. So this was his command. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, and I am telling you to go and make disciples. What's a disciple? A disciple is a follower. This is who I follow. He says that at the core, this is what you are to do. If you forget everything else, this is what you're to do. Help make followers of me. And this mission is given to all disciples. In fact, the term disciple is a learner, right? A follower. And our goal is to help others to learn and follow Jesus. That's what he's calling us to do. And the people in the early church, the people who heard Jesus' message, these disciples who heard this message, were doing it the best way that they knew how, by following Jesus' example. We hear something, we do something. We read something, we do something. We hear the message, and we do it. We hear through the scriptures, and we do it. That's the discipleship process. But there's two parts to the Great Commission. On the one side, it's an invitation, an invite to enter this relationship with Jesus. This is where we put our faith and our trust in him. We publicly illustrate this through baptism, what we celebrated last weekend. The other side is a call to growth through obeying everything Jesus calls us to do. And that's the equation, right? We come into relationship with him. Then we try to become more and more like him. And here's the thing about Jesus. People wanted to be around him. People loved to be around him. They loved sharing meals with him, talking with him, fellowshipping with him. And people would invite others to hear him and spend time with him. If Jesus was having a barbecue, they were the ones bringing the bologna cake, right? Jesus was always invited to barbecues. That's what he's calling us to do. To introduce people to him, to bring them into the family, and then go and have them introduce more. One of these things that Jesus calls us to do is this idea of multiply, right? You are here on this earth to continue this mission that Jesus has left for you, right? The Great Commission, go and make disciples. But you can't do that on your own. Nor are you expected to. God tells us to work together. Do you barbecue by yourself? Well, maybe, but I guarantee you it's not as fun. His plan of redemption involves this thing that they call the church. People working in unity to reach people. Which means, as a family, here at Hoboken Grace, we have a responsibility to show humanity just what the church was meant to be. A place where we challenge one another, where we love one another, where we serve one another, a place of healing. But this vision goes beyond the people within our walls or watching online or at 301 Garden or at our location on the lawn. We don't just serve, you know, fellow believers around us to maintain that we're just a nice bunch of believers. No, God's plan is much, much bigger than that. It involves reaching out. His plan of redemption isn't completed and satisfied by those on the inside. In fact, a church that's inwardly focused is pretty unhealthy. It's like stagnant water, right? Have you ever been around to stagnant water when it rains or something here in Hoboken and then just that water sits there for a long period of time? If it stays there too long, right? Nothing floating in, nothing floating out, what happens? It becomes stale and it can become dangerous. Right, stagnant water attracts diseases like malaria. Right, stagnant water can become a breeding ground for mosquitoes. Think about that. A church that doesn't have a healthy flow of people in and out becomes those things that you hate, full of bloodsuckers. They just don't care about anyone but themselves. They're happy to continue to do the things the way that they've always done it. Have you ever worked at a place like that? A place that's just so stuck in its ways. It's not attractive. You don't want to stay. You don't want to invite people to it. You want to get out. But when you look at the scriptures, when you look at this thing that Jesus is calling us to, a church that fails to look beyond their walls isn't really a church at all. And Jesus was very clear about his purpose, right? If you've ever wondered what Jesus came to do, why Jesus was part of the plan all along, Luke 19:10 spells it out perfectly for us. The Son of Man, Jesus, the Son of Man, came to seek and save the lost. And as followers of him, we are called to do the same. It's interesting that we're looking at this grill and thinking about this term grilling, and even the image for the series is this idea of fire, and it's this idea of light. And as I was praying through this, I couldn't help but be brought to that verse in Matthew 5, verses 14 through 16. This is Jesus speaking, and he's telling his disciples, listen, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden, neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. You see, our focus is not inward, but outward, a light. A light shines outward, not inward, right? When you think of this grill and fire, right? The fire goes out, right? It doesn't go in. And what Jesus is saying here is that you wouldn't cover a lamp, right? Remember, a lamp in during this time was actually had oil in it, and there was fire coming out of it. And you wouldn't cover it because it would extinguish it. You wouldn't hide it under a bed because you wouldn't have a bed there in the morning, right? You would probably go up in flames. And you know, if this was a lit grill and I put the cover over the top of it, the fire would eventually extinguish. And moreover, in Matthew 5:14, he says, Jesus says that a city on a hilltop cannot be hidden. And it's this idea that if you are the light of the world, when you walk into this relationship with Jesus, you are the light of the world. And then he takes it a step further, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. I mean, that's a beautiful picture, isn't it? Jesus spoke these phrases, right, over the sea, over a sea of people, and he was speaking about the city of Jerusalem specifically at this time. And in these days, remember, there wasn't any electricity, but you could tell a city because you saw all the lamps that were lit. And a cluster of lamps were really hard to miss, even if you tried to hide it. You see, we cannot fulfill this mission unless we serve one another and then we're with one another. And when we're together, each letting our light shine individually, we shine much brighter together. Think about it in terms of coals, right? When you light a coal grill, right? You put one piece of charcoal down, it's not going to do much. Oh yeah, there's going to be light for sure. But you put all of these hot coals onto a grill, well, now you're cooking, literally. God placed you where you are for a reason. He placed Hoboken Grace here for a reason, so we can reach the community around us, so that he can spread his love, his hope, and healing into the lives of the people around you. We believe that you are placed exactly where you are to reach people. We want people to experience that family. In order to do that, we have to make room. We have to be able to welcome people from all over. We have to invite them to the barbecue. When the coals work together, it can shine brightly. I wanted to light this grill, but the fire marshal says it's not a good idea, so... The reason this thing is called the Great Commission is that you and I are commissioned by Jesus to invite people over, to welcome them to the family. We have a Great Commission from him, and we are to join with him in making of disciples. And we do this from the perspective of the Great Commandment, right? This is found in Matthew 22, right? The Great Commandment, it goes this way. Teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law? They're speaking to Jesus. Then Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All of the law of the prophets hang on these two commandments. Did you catch that? Love God first. And what? Love your neighbor as yourself. Who do you grill with? Your neighbors. How many people actually know their neighbors? I'll pause. How many people actually know their neighbors? You know, there are a number of passages throughout the New Testament that call us as believers to be good neighbors, like State Farm. Galatians 6, put it this way, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. There's the idea of family. Hebrews 13 says it this way, keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing so, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. You see, many of you think the idea of sharing Jesus with others has to do with great, you know, biblical knowledge, and I have to have a degree in theology, and I just don't know enough. And many of you think you can't talk about Jesus because you just don't know enough. You think you need to download everything that's written in the scriptures in order to talk about Jesus, that you need to know everything. Jesus didn't say that. He didn't say, after you've learned everything, go and make disciples. Jesus says, welcome to the family. Let's see who else we can welcome. We think we have to be overflowing with knowledge in order to deposit that into someone. You don't have to be a genius to speak about Jesus. You don't have to wow people with your profuse Bible knowledge or your ability to talk about fundamental philosophical issues like the problem of evil. No. All you have to do is care. Your first step to successfully sharing your faith with someone is that you have to be in community with them. That's why I love we started today with Cameron's story all about dinner group and all about being in community. Because think about it. Think about it. If I walk up to someone I don't know at all, and I come up to them and say, I want to tell you about how Jesus changed my life, it would probably freak them out. I'm just being honest. But if you have a relationship with someone, a neighbor, a friend, a coworker, and you invite them over to grill or have coffee or a meal, and you end up bringing up faith in your life, that could be powerful. It's more than just words. Just like a barbecue is more than a grill. It's about our actions too. If you were to tell someone you were a Christ follower, how would they react? Would they laugh? Would they scoff? Would they run in the opposite direction? Or would they know they can talk to you? There are a couple great stories about how God illustrated this in my life. Prior to coming on board at Hoboken Grace, I worked in an industry where I traveled a lot, and my boss wasn't the nicest guy. he tend to you know, lie on his expense accounts a little bit. He was a little bit boorish, right? He was kind of a bully sometimes, you know, I don't know how else to describe him other than that way. And one day he was unfortunately let go because all of that kind of caught up with him. And I didn't see him for a couple of weeks. And I got a call from him on my cell one day. And he asked me for coffee. And to be honest, I'm going to be perfectly honest with you, I didn't want to. I didn't want to have coffee with him. But I felt that little nudge of the Spirit. And I said, okay, let's go have coffee. Let me buy you a cup. And so we sat down and we chatted for a little bit. And then he started to tell me of a predicament. He said, listen, Anthony, things have gone from bad to worse in my life since getting let go. My wife has decided it's time for us to split up. And for 2 weeks, I don't have a place to go. I have a place lined up, but I don't get to go there for 2 weeks. And I felt it in me, this desire to tell him to come stay with me, but I really wanted to squelch that desire as much as possible. I wanted to say, man, I'm so sorry. Let me pay for your cup of coffee and then go. I know, that sounds terrible. But at the time, I was living alone, and I had the couch. I had the room. So I swallowed. And I said, you know, why don't you come stay with me for a couple weeks till you get your new place? And I'm telling you, this was not me. This was all God. Tears welled up in his eyes. And he said, I wasn't asking you for that. And I said, I know you weren't asking me for that. But I want to offer it to you. And he told me something I'll never forget. He said, the reason I called you It was because I knew you were, as he put it, a Jesus guy. And to me, that was one of the biggest compliments I've ever received. Because I definitely wasn't always the Jesus guy. But I knew I loved Jesus, and I knew I loved what he did with me, and I don't always get it right, and I know we don't always get it right. But over the next 2 weeks, as he stayed at my place, we were able to laugh. I was able to share my faith with him and why I have the faith that I have. I would love to tell you that we went over to the Hudson and I baptized him, but that wasn't the case. But it allowed me to be in relationship with him. And now I would even consider us friends. And he now feels comfortable to be able to talk with me about things of faith. And that's what he meant. That's that seed that's being planted. Allowing yourself to be used. God was using me all along, and I didn't even know it. I was just following. I hadn't gone to seminary yet. I hadn't even begun working for the church yet. I just simply said yes to Jesus, and I followed. That's what he's asking you to do. Don't shy away from the people who he's put in your path. The people in your building, the people on your block, at your work. Yes, barbecues and get-togethers are going to look a little different for a while. But the mission doesn't just stop or change because we need to be socially distant or wear masks. Last I checked, you can still smell the sweet aroma of a barbecue through a mask. Trust me, I've tried. God is doing more than we know, and we are part of his work. There's a verse in 1 Thessalonians that's put this way, "For we know, brothers and sisters, loved by God, that he has chosen you because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit and deep conviction. And you know how we lived among you for your sake." Did you catch that? The gospel came to you not simply with words. In other words, how you live the gospel of Jesus Christ in front of your friends, your family, your neighbors, and co-workers matters much more than the words that we speak. And just like with my old boss, it was about planting that seed and allowing God to do the work. How can you practically do that? Maybe you invite people to join you for one day. Hey, it's a service project to be able to go out and make our community better, and then you go out afterwards. You invite people to join you at a connection event. And listen, if you're still not comfortable going out, do a watch party. Invite people to come and watch the service with you online and then have an opportunity to talk with them. There's a guy in my dinner group who shared this story that I thought was absolutely amazing. He was part of our child dedication. Him and his wife dedicated their child a few months ago. And he said, you know, it was such a unique opportunity that my wife and I we invited people, and there were some people on the list that we knew weren't believers, and we knew, you know, didn't really understand who God was in their life. And they just said that, you know what, we invited like 20 or 30 people. Maybe even more. We invited a bunch of people to come and watch our child dedication. And as a result, I think he even said 20 or 30 people showed up to watch one of the services throughout the day. And just by planting that seed, those 20 or 30 individuals were able to hear a message of Jesus Christ on how he was pursuing them. One of the things this pandemic has taught us about reaching out to our neighbors is that sometimes it's as easy as picking up a phone to check in on someone. And this allows the door to open and the conversation to begin. During this pandemic, we've had people tune in from all over the world. We have people who are connected from the Philippines, from Scotland, and the farthest regions of Utah. What I'm saying is that Jesus' mission didn't stop just because we all socially distanced. Jesus' message didn't stop because we were in our homes. The individual who took the step of baptism last week, I mean, his story is absolutely incredible. This is an individual who you might have thought, there's no way. There's no way this guy will ever become a believer. And to watch his journey all about that seed being planted, you have no idea how God is going to use that. All he's asking you to do is to light, is to be the light and let him take over. Just imagine for a moment that God uses you in your household, in your office, in your neighborhood, to plant a seed. He begins to water it and to nudge that person closer and closer to him. As a result, family lines are changed forever. Cities are changed forever. That little spark that you helped ignite could turn into a big flame for generations to come. That's what I want you to get to understand. Next week, I want you to invite somebody with you, so that we can help plant that seed. Will you pray with me? Father, I want to thank you for this truth today. That you were not surprised by any of this. And that the mission just didn't stop because we socially distanced, or that we went on lockdown. But now that we're starting to open up and slowly starting to come out, God, my prayer is that you will just help us to realize that this light that's in us can shine bright. And most importantly, we don't have to do this alone, but we can do this together. That is our prayer, God, that you will encourage us to do this together. Father, I pray for each and every person that's listening here today, because undoubtedly there's somebody on their heart who doesn't know you. Or maybe they're here today. Maybe they're here today and they're listening to this, and they themselves have not walked into this relationship with you for whatever reason. My prayer is that they will know right now that you love them. Right now that you sent their son for them. And that right now you can't wait to use them to invite more people to the barbecue. We love you, God. We are honored to be on this mission with you. And it's all because of Jesus that it's possible. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.